"Who is Mad-Eye?" asked Harry. "He's retired. Used to work at the Ministry," said Charlie. "I met him once when Dad took me into work with him. He was an aura, one of the best. A dark wizard catcher," he added, seeing Harry's blank look. "Half the cells in Azkaban are full because of him. He made himself loads of enemies, though, the families of people he caught mainly, and I heard he's been getting really paranoid in his old age, doesn't trust anyone anymore, sees dark wizards everywhere." Bill and Charlie decided to come and see everyone off at King's Cross Station, but Percy, apologising most profusely, said that he really needed to get to work. "I just can't justify taking more time off at the moment," he told them. "Mr. Crouch is really starting to rely on me."
"Yeah, you know what, Percy," said George seriously, "I reckon he'll know your name soon."
Mrs. Weasley had braved the telephone in the village post office to order 3 ordinary muggle taxis to take them into London.
"Arthur tried to borrow ministry cars for us," Mrs. Weasley whispered to Harry as they stood in the rain-washed yard, watching the taxi drivers heaving 6 heavy Hogwarts trunks into their cars, "but there weren't any to spare. Oh, dear, they don't look happy, do they?"
Harry didn't like to tell Mrs. Weasley that muggle taxi drivers rarely transported overexcited owls, and Pigwidgeon was making an ear-splitting racket. Nor did it help that a number of Dr. Filibuster's fabulous no-heat, wet-start fireworks went off unexpectedly when Fred's trunk sprang open, causing the driver carrying it to yell with fright and pain as Crookshanks clawed his way up the man's leg. The journey was uncomfortable, owing to the fact that they were jammed in the back of the taxis with their trunks. Crookshanks took quite a while to recover from the fireworks, and by the time they entered London, Harry, Ron and Hermione were all severely scratched. They were very relieved to get out at King's Cross, even though the rain was coming down harder than ever, and they got soaked carrying their trunks across the busy road and into the station. Harry was used to getting on to platform 9 3/4 by now. It was a simple matter of walking straight through the apparently solid barrier dividing platforms 9 and 10. The only tricky part was doing this in an unobtrusive way, so as to avoid attracting muggle attention. They did it in groups today, Harry, Ron and Hermione, the most conspicuous, as they were accompanied by Pigwidgeon and Crookshanks, went first. They leant casually against the barrier, chatting unconcernedly, and slid sideways through it, and as they did so, platform 9 3/4 materialized in front of them. The Hogwarts Express, a gleaming scarlet steam engine, was already there, clouds of steam billowing from it, through which the many Hogwarts students and parents on the platform appeared like dark ghosts. Pigwidgeon became noisier than ever in response to the hooting of many owls through the mist. Harry, Ron and Hermione set off to find seats, and were soon stowing their luggage in a compartment halfway along the train. They then hopped back down onto the platform to say goodbye to Mrs. Weasley, Bill and Charlie.
"I might be seeing you all sooner than you think," said Charlie, grinning, as he hugged Ginny goodbye.
"Why?" said Fred, keenly.
"You'll see," said Charlie. "Just don't tell Percy I mentioned it. It's classified information until such time as the Ministry sees fit to release it, after all."
"Yeah, I sort of wish I was back at Hogwarts this year," said Bill, hands in his pockets, looking almost wistfully at the train.
"Why?" said George impatiently.
"You're going to have an interesting year," said Bill, his eyes twinkling. "I might even get time off to come and watch a bit of it."
"A bit of what?" said Ron.
But at that moment the whistle blew, and Mrs. Weasley chivied them towards the train doors.
"Thanks for having us to stay, Mrs. Weasley," said Hermione, as they climbed on board, closed the door, and leant out of the window to talk to her.
"Yeah, thanks for everything, Mrs. Weasley," said Harry.
"Oh, it was my pleasure, dears," said Mrs. Weasley. "I'd invite you for Christmas, but, well, I expect you're all going to want to stay at Hogwarts, what with one thing and another."
"Mum," said Ron irritably, "what do you 3 know that we don't?"
"'You'll find out this evening, I expect,' said Mrs. Weasley, smiling. "'It's going to be very exciting. Mind you, I'm very glad they've changed the rules.'
"'What rules?' said Harry, Ron, Fred and George, together.
"'I'm sure Professor Dumbledore will tell you. Now, behave, won't you?
"'Won't you, Fred? And you, George?'
The pistons hissed loudly, and the train began to move.
"'Tell us what's happening at Hogwarts!'
Fred bellowed out of the window as Mrs. Weasley, Bill and Charlie sped away from them.
"'What rules are they changing?'
But Mrs. Weasley only smiled and waved. Before the train had rounded the corner, she, Bill and Charlie had disapparated. Harry, Ron and Hermione went back to their compartment. The thick rain splattering the windows made it very difficult to see out of them. Ron undid his trunk, pulled out his maroon dress robes, and flung them over Pigwidgeon's cage to muffle his hooting.
"'Bagman wanted to tell us what's happening at Hogwarts,' he said grumpily, sitting down next to Harry. "'At the World Cup, remember? But my own mother won't say. Wonder what—'
"'Shh!' Hermione whispered suddenly, pressing her finger to her lips and pointing towards the compartment next to theirs. Harry and Ron listened and heard a familiar, drawling voice drifting in through the open door.
"'Father actually considered sending me to Durmstrang rather than Hogwarts, you know. "'He knows the headmaster, you see. "'Well, you know his opinion of Dumbledore. "'The man's such a mudblood lover, "'and Durmstrang doesn't admit that sort of riffraff. "'But Mother didn't like the idea of me going to school so far away. "'Father says Durmstrang takes a far more sensible line than Hogwarts about the dark arts.' Durmstrang students actually learn them, not just the defence rubbish we do.
Hermione got up, tiptoed to the compartment door, and slid it shut, blocking out Malfoy's voice.
"'So, he thinks Durmstrang would have suited him, does he?' she said angrily. "'I wish he had gone. Then we wouldn't have had to put up with him.'
"'Durmstrang's another wizarding school,' said Harry.
"'Yes,' said Hermione sniffily, and it's got a horrible reputation. According to An Appraisal of Magical Education in Europe, it puts a lot of emphasis on the dark arts.
I think I've heard of it, said Ron vaguely. Where is it? What country?
Well, nobody knows, do they?
Said Hermione, raising her eyebrows.
Why not? Said Harry.
There's traditionally been a lot of rivalry between all the magic schools. "'Durmstrang and Beauxbatons like to conceal their whereabouts, "'so nobody can steal their secrets,' said Hermione matter-of-factly.